Hey everybody, my name is Alex and this is Lunchbox Radio. Now, before we get started, I just wanted to encourage you to go listen to the most recent episode, which is all about the show over on Netflix, My Happy Marriage, which is still going on, but it's an incredible one of those, and if you've never seen something like My Happy Marriage, then you'll learn what I mean by that. But also, if you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but rest assured, it's like top tier one of those. So definitely go check it out if you're at all interested. It's worth it, at least in the way that it writes its characters and it treats its world and all that fun jazz. So definitely go check that out over on Netflix. You can also go listen to the episode all about Junie Tyson, which you can watch on Crunchyroll, subbed or dubbed. It's a battle royale anime in the style of something like Fate, but using the animals of the zodiac instead of like mystical leaders from the past, basically. But definitely go check that out. Also, I think it's worth your time because it's just an interesting, well produced thing. But even if it's not necessarily the best show, just the stuff it brings to the table is kind of worth it, even with all of its faults. But definitely go check out those two episodes. And if you've been listening for a while and you're like, where did the Sunday show go and where did the news show go? Those are on hiatus, mostly because the content was getting a little thin for my liking. I want to keep giving you stuff that's worth listening to or worth watching in the case of the Sunday edition. And I didn't quite feel like I was doing that. And also, my own professional life, since I do this certainly professionally, like I make money from this, but it's not the main way I make money. My own professional life got a lot more complicated recently. So I, ramped down on this end to keep myself sane, which, you know, give me a break. I am a man. But on that note, not this week, which is going to September, but in the third week of November, I will be going to, and you can go find me at, and I'm not sure if I'll be doing a panel at Anime NYC. So if you've ever wanted to, you know, search me out, I will probably like leave hints of like, or straight up just be like, yo, I'm around, come find me. And you are in the NYC area, or are you going to Anime NYC? I think badges are still available, and I'm going for all 3 days, so there you go. Definitely come find me, hang out, all that stuff. But on that note, I want to talk about something a little bit different today, but I'll get to why I want to talk about it when we get there. And that thing that's a little bit different is a little game that came out pretty recently called Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Anime considered. Lunchbox Radio.
Now, what I want to talk about, the reason why I want to talk about Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is because that game has a lot leading up to it, and a lot leading up to it that interfaces directly with, you know, us as anime fans. And some of you listening may already know this from listening to this podcast, specifically the episode all about Air Gear, but for those of you who don't, there once was a game called, and there still is a game, you can still play it, I believe, on the 360? On the Xbox 360, if you can get your hands on one of those, called Jet Set Radio, and it's follow-up Jet Set Radio Future, and a Jet Set Radio Game Boy Advance game, which is supposed to be bad. But this was via Sega, a Japanese game designer's take on a really old school thing in hip hop and street culture, which is like there are core tenets of hip hop and core tenets of street culture. And it was kind of adapting those into a video game format in a very different than what people are probably used to if you've ever played a Tony Hawk game or a skate game. This is a totally different kind of thing. First off, Jet Set Radio itself was just about roller skates. It was just about rollerblades, actually. It was about rollerblades and graffiti. And it gained a cult following because it's got a specific, very graffiti-inspired, very street culture-inspired, from the early to mid-2000s era of, like, street culture and, like, late 90s to right up until the year 2000 look of, like, lots of vibrant colors, lots of, like, house and techno music for the soundtrack. The soundtrack for Jet Set Radio can be felt in everything it's had an influence on since that game came out. And what I mean by that is it can be felt in anything that feels Jet Set Radio-like. And if you look at Jet Set Radio as a property, it influenced one thing in particular, but a couple things kind of nebulously. If you look at something like even something that seems odd, like Eureka 7. Eureka 7's soundtrack and the way Eureka 7 treats kind of surf culture and skate culture and, like, mash it together, you can clearly, and, like, mashes all that stuff together in one thing, you can clearly see a kind of Jet Set Radio future DNA in that show. But the one that's the most significant, and I've talked about it before on this show, is on the podcast. You can go find it in the feed previously, but is a show called Air Gear. And I believe you can go find interviews with O'Great, the former Aero Manga author, now author of both Air Gear and Tenjo Tenge, both shows I've talked about on this podcast. But he's straight up said, like, the Jet Set Radio games inspired me to write Air Gear and to, like, create Air Gear as a thing. Because he saw the full, and if you look at Air Gear and the kind of framing that they use for Air Gear's world, and the rules around competition and teams, it looks very much like something like you see in Jet Set Radio Future, or now Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. And I'll get to why I haven't mentioned the main topic of this thing in a minute. But everybody often forgets that anime and video games kind of sit next to each other a lot. Lots of people forget that. I don't want to say that people forget this, but people don't immediately notice it constantly, that the people playing video games are making anime, and the people watching anime are playing video games, and that's a constant, almost like Ouroboros snake eating its own tail, cycle of inspiration and borrowing and, you know, one-upsmanship and all this other stuff. You feel it most in games like No More Heroes, where Travis Touchdown is explicitly, he's explicitly a total nerd, a total otaku. And a lot of that game is informed by just, like, the Suda51 also having those loves. If you look at something like any Hideo Kojima game, if you're always like, oh, Hideo Kojima is a revolutionary, he may be, but the thing that anybody who's watched anime for a while, like me, also knows is he's also just seen a whole bunch of shit from the 80s. Like, he's just seen things like Black Magic 66, which I believe I talked about on the show. And he's just seen a whole bunch of, like, old 80s, gory, over-sexualized, you know, horny as hell, action anime, action OVA anime. And you see, if once you know that, you kind of see that DNA just all over the place in things like Metal Gear or in things like Death Stranding. It makes so much more sense to you when you're like, oh, well, I've seen, once again, Black Magic 66 or any number of, like, hype or any, or, like, Parasite Eve or, you know, Bubblegum Crisis or Goku Midnight Eye. Like, I've seen this shit. This makes sense. And also, like, not for nothing, but Cyberpunk 2077, the biggest release / biggest bomb of its time, was very heavily, could not exist without a show like Ghost in the Shell, without the kind of stuff that was brought to bear by anime in the cyberpunk space, which is very responsible for, anime is very responsible for kind of keeping cyberpunk alive and relevant in the in-between things of, like, in between the things like The Matrix or things like Cyberpunk 2077 that go super wide. You have really narrow things like Ghost in the Shell. You have more narrow things like Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, like, once again, Bubblegum Crisis. You have things like Pandora in the Crimson Shell Ghost Earth, which I promise you, you can look at right now as you're listening to this, and that is a real show. It was made by the same, it was like penned by the same dude who penned Ghost in the Shell. It's super weird, but, and you could be like, what? It exists, I promise. But the long and short of it is that, like, anime and video games on very many levels go hand in hand, and probably the most clear you'll ever see it is something, it's either something like the new Jujutsu Kaisen fighting game that's gonna come out, that's coming out soon, which I kind of want to play, or the Demon Slayer fighting game, or the countless Dragon Ball Z or Naruto fighting game, or the Jump Plus fighting game, where it's just all Shonen Jump characters. You just pick one, and you, like, smack fucking, you, like, have an action-figured moment of smacking Ichigo and Jotaro against each other and seeing who wins. Or even something that's not a, fighting games in general have a very anime-esque quality to them, so much that many of them have been adapted into anime in the past. Things like, Fatal Fury. It is a fighting game first, and then you have Fatal Fury, the motion picture. Things like Street Fighter and all of its, and the Street Fighter anime that have come out in the past. There have been a couple, but Street Fighter, the animation is the one most people know. And also, there's, like, the rich history of taking things from things like visual novels. And scaling them up and fleshing them out to be things like Fate Stay Night, which is actually adapted from a pornographic visual novel, which I've never played, but I've heard quite a few people enjoy. But in any case, that bridge goes back and forth. And the reason why I want to talk about this with A, because I want to take a break from anime, and I've been playing Bomb Rush Cyberpunk kind of obsessively for a while now, and it, as a game, has so much rooted in a game that was so inspirational and was such a cult classic touch point for shit that came after it. If you look at the main character of Jet Set Radio, the guy with the glasses, he's got a scary amount in common with somebody like Present Mike from My Hero Academia. And then you pull that all the way forward, you pull that forward and you, like, loop it around a little bit, and you get Red, the main character from Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, who has, like, a weird Evangelion head, but he still has the, like, callback to the thing it is basically a direct sequel to and very heavily cribbing from Jet Set Radio Future, in that his eyes are the same green as the main character from Jet Set's white sunglass lenses are. And then you have a character like Belle, who looks like the female character in that thing. And you have a black character who looks like the DJ in the original Jet Set Radio. None of that stuff is a mistake, but then you take it even one layer weirder and you look at the other thing that O'Great made once they're like, oh, we gotta stop letting this guy just make Silky Whip. He'll make it forever. It's like a threat. If you're familiar with O'Great, O'Great was, I believe he still is, I'm not sure, he's not still an Arrow manga author, but he was a really, I want to say prolific Arrow manga author, but he was a pretty well-known and very talented Arrow manga author who, you read any of his stuff, and it wasn't designed to be titillating. It wasn't designed to turn you on. That happened as a consequence, but it wasn't like, it felt more like he was being required to put the sex scenes in, and like, he would make it sexy, he would make it like etchy and horny, but he didn't necessarily want to like have characters bang on screen, but that was the job that paid the bills. So eventually he, after doing many, 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 many issues of a story called Silky Whip, which you can go find, I think he did Tenjo Tange first, and Tenjo Tange looks an awful lot like Air Gear. It says well illustrated. Both of his like most known things are stunning to look at. They are beautiful. He is a really talented, illustrator and character designer and the whole nine yards, and just like the way he demonstrates movement in Air Gear is incredible. It's got a lot of futurism in it. It's wild. But you look at a character like Bob Makihara in Tenjo Tange, and you can draw a direct parallel back to the DJ in Jet Set, and then you bring that forward and you get a character like Trice in Bomb Rush Cyberfunk. So what I'm saying here is not that it is actually that everything can be connected in like connective tissue kind of way. If you want a different, less niche example, if you look at Daemon X Machina, the mech game from a bunch of years ago that I love, you look at the mechs in that and they feel like a Wreck-A 7 mechs. They don't feel like something like Ava or something like Gundam. They feel pretty noticeably like Elreka 7 mechs. And that was probably a pretty intentional choice. When the original designers of that game were looking out at the landscape of like, what do we want our mechs to feel like? Oh, we want them to feel like Elreka 7 mid-sized sedan-style mechs. And that's what they end up feeling like. If you look at something like Armored Core 5, I saw somebody do something great in Armored Core 5. They made Megas XLR from that show Megas XLR, the like big blue robot with like car detailing and an old school classic car for head. And they like layered in the music. It was on TikTok. It was hilarious. I deeply love that clip. But that that's informed from the same place as a show like Megatech LR, and those are all informed from old giant robot shows from like the 60s and 70s in anime. And I wanted to talk about Bomber Cyberpunk because I wanted to talk, because I kind of love the game and I love its style and I love what it's doing and like the kind of untouched time capsuleness of it. I posted a video of Red dancing on Threads, which you can go follow me on Threads, by the way. And people's response was like, "Oh shit, I thought you unearthed Jet Set. What the hell is that thing?" I actually posted it to get David Pierce from The Verge's attention because I was hoping he'd mention it on his new newsletter, Installer. If you feel like, you know, waiting that campaign with me, you totally can. But everybody was like, "Oh shit." And then we like backslid into like, "Yeah, but the soundtrack is nowhere." And I eventually found the soundtrack on SoundCloud, and I think I became a bunch of people's hero that day. But what I'm ending up talking about, what I ended up wanting to talk about with this show, is this is a modern day, this is a as close to a modern day version of this that we have of the kind of a kind of not seamless, but close to seamless line of inspiration. And it's also this survival of a fandom that wasn't, that Sega has pretty much disregarded, although they have been saying for a while that they've been working on a Jet Set Radio 3 that will come out at some point. We all hope in our tiny little techno music obsessed hearts. But people like me have been waiting like 20 years for a new game in this style. And be clear, this game is not, this is a skating game that includes, unlike Jet Set Radio, Bomber Cyberpunk has the ability to use a skateboard, that's what you start out on, a rollerblade, and a BMX bike. And they all play slightly differently, although you can do everything with all of them. But there's a kind of soul and spirit to this, that to like this style of thing, that you can feel in everything that Jet Set Radio has inspired since. And there's a great video on TikTok that I'll post on, because Bomber Cyberpunk is definitely in my TikTok feed currently, mostly because I posted a video from it there too. But the like spirit of this game, of this style of game, is very specific, but it is replicable. And I know that Jujutsu Kaisen's about to make a comeback. When the first episode of Jujutsu Kaisen happened, and they did the flashback to the 90s in 90s style anime treatment, and had like a film grain, a whole thing, almost like it was captured by a camcorder, everybody was stunned by that. They're like, "Holy shit!" But the thing that people don't think about, that people don't realize, is that like for these things to come out, for something like a Bomb Rush Cyberpunk to come out, for something like Jet Set Radio to come out when it did in the 2000s, a lot of people were putting their effort towards making that thing. Everybody always thinks of things, of creations, as being something that if one person is missing, it's just not right. Generally, that's not how it works. Not everything is a Satoshi Kon movie, Magical Dream Machine. If you don't know anything about that movie, basically, it was Satoshi Kon's unfinished script by Satoshi Kon that nobody wants to touch with a 10-foot pole because they're all afraid they're going to fuck it up. But in reality, yes, people make stuff in their own unique style, but that doesn't mean that people can't learn that style and adapt it and make and add to the canon, or, you know, make something of their own that had that same look and feel. If you look at something like Air Gear, it doesn't feel exactly like Jet Set Radio, but it definitely has roots in that thing. And the genius part of that on the anime side of that show is the Air Gear soundtrack and the Jet Set Radio soundtrack, and now the Bomb Rush Cyberpunk's soundtrack all blend together. They're all from the same fucking universe. It's wild. It is like, it is the linchpin of that thing, as of this vibe that these games want to give you. And like, is this game perfect? No, absolutely not. But the, it is a spiritual successor for a thing that I loved first from afar, played for a while when I was a little older, and now I get to really play on a new, modern, current console. And it's just, like I said earlier, style is not a singular creation of a singular creator. Style is something that tons of people go put their effort into making and refining. If you look at a Hideo Kojima game, he takes his team, he takes that team with largely. And that's because those are the people he trusts to help him make whatever vision he has in his head. But each of those people adds something to the process. And those people can be swapped out, too. Like, you don't really understand this unless you are a really creative person. But style is just a thing that you, it's almost like a costume you put on when you're making things. If you want to make something that looks like a certain thing, you can get there. I have gotten there. I don't think I've ever told this story in the podcast, but back when I was a freelance designer, I had this job to do an illustration for a book that was coming out. It was like a young adult novel with a female lead character. And it was right around when that movie Young Adult was coming out. Was like coming out on for like rental. So I, like, sat and I listened to a bunch of moody... I was in my 20s or something. I sat and I listened to a bunch of moody teen music. And I watched that movie. And then I just nailed that cover up to the wall. And the client loved it. And the thing there was... What I was doing there, and what I was fully aware I was doing there, was I was putting myself in the headspace. Putting myself in the, like... cultural space of what this looks like, what vibe I wanted to kind of bottle for this cover art project that I was doing. That was it, like, groundbreaking? No, but it absolutely checked all the boxes perfectly. And the other reason why I wanted to talk about Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is because there's so much pressure to make something new, something great, something original. But when you see something like this, that's quite frankly really well made, a shit ton of fun, and just like good time all around, you start to realize that stuff doesn't have to be new to be good. Stuff can just accomplish a thing on a 5-star scale perfectly that haven't existed for a while. And people think of that as, like, going back to classics or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Like, there's nothing really new about Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, but that's what makes it great. It is taking a formula and it's sanding it down and refining it and making it more what it wants to be. For example, a story conceit in Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is that you are one character and then all of a sudden you are another character because you get decapitated and your head gets replaced with a robot head. That introduces a little bit of cyberpunk into the Jet Set Radio mold, which always felt like it belonged there, but the original property never quite got there. So now you have a whole different story layer you can work with. And if you look at something like Air Gear says,
So the way this works, the way this would always work is if these skates were electrically powered, right? And, or like had a, like a motor that speeds off of like its own movement kind of thing. And he created the ATs of the Air Gear world. And that adds to the world of this kind of jet set radio super skating game that came before it. And all of this always, everybody's always like, oh, the new thing, it's the greatest, blah, 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 blah. If you look at something like Jujutsu Kaisen doesn't exist without the stuff that came before it. And something like Air Gear or something like Bomb Rush Cyberpunk are fully aware that what came before it is, like, hatched gold. And they simplify their job by simply saying, okay, we have to make something like that. And improve, but maybe improve upon it in a little way, or maybe in Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, largely, just don't. Just like that was lightning in a bottle, and if we manage to recreate that lightning in a bottle, then hopefully we strike pay dirt on something. We make something that this fandom deeply enjoys. That this fandom will say, this is for me. And I really think they did that. And I think that that's much more acceptable in video games right now than in anime. The place you most see it in anime is things like harem anime. Harem anime is very derivative. It is very, like, of a style with different, like, flavors for everybody. But you don't often see it in... You don't often see it so blatantly in things like shonen action show. Although if you look for it, it's totally there. Stuff may feel new, but it's definitely not. On that note, I'm going to cut it off a little bit early here because this is what I wanted to say. But until next time, if you like this podcast, you can find episodes currently every Saturday, or every Thursday, rather. And if you really like it, give it a 5-star review on your podcast listening app of choice and share it with your friends, because I do this every week. And I have been Alex. This has been Lunchbox Radio. I will talk to you next time.